Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew, where are you?
I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Good times.
No way.
Wow. Peanut and SA are both here from 311, by the way.
We're impressed. What's going on?
What are you doing in Knoxville, Drew?
Talking to the volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of volunteers out that way.
Good man.
And you'll be back tomorrow night in studio, yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
All right. 311, actually, Nick was supposed to come out, too, but Nick is ill. Strep throat?
Something like
yeah,
that, I think.
Yeah, he's saving it for recording these two songs that we're doing a greatest hits collection we're adding on to, so it's not just a bunch of songs that are old.
Uh-huh. You know, it's a fine line you have to walk when you add new songs to the greatest hits, because sometimes if there's like six new songs, it's you're like, hey, what happened to the greatest hits? This is half a new album. Right. But if there's no new songs, then it's just kind of weird.
Right. Yeah, you got to give them something.
And they got to be good.
I think it's they're banging. They're banging tracks, and they're greatest hits worthy.
Quote, banging.
Their 311, by the way, is on the 51st Dates soundtrack, which is out as we speak with a Cure cover. And I guess we're going to hear that coming up in the first hour. Also, if you want any information about 311, just go to www.311.com. They have, let's see, they're going to be playing at the Long Beach Arena. Well, so you guys going to be touring?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mid-June.
Mid-June?
Yep.
And is that a national tour?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes.
So if you want to, because we're on many cities that 311 is probably going to end up at eventually, so you can just go to their website. And then that'll have the tour dates, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
All right. Drew.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the phones.
Great.
I got a call
you're
gonna
for
you.
You're going to pick them, too.
Yeah, I'm picking them. Well, normally when you're not here, I just pick them in order. And
didn't work last night at all.
Last night was a horrible show.
What?
I blame myself. I blame you. I blame our guest. I blame engineer Chris.
Blame's flying.
Yeah, blame is everywhere. But tonight,
there's going to be no need for that.
No. Peanut was telling me he's a seasoned veteran. He's been on the show many times.
Self-proclaimed.
He knows the cadence. Casey?
Yes.
You're 14?
Yeah.
You're 36D.
Yeah.
And you have stretch marks.
Yeah.
You see? We're already out to a flying start here, Drew.
Well, here's what I know. You've been reading the calls.
Yeah, look at that.
You just stop right there at 36D. There you go.
Yep. So you want to know how to get rid of stretch marks?
Yeah.
No good way to do that, Drew, is there?
Well, there's laser techniques, and they can cut them out. They're plastic techniques, and certainly she ought to, if she wants to, see a plastic surgeon. But usually most guys aren't that troubled by stretch marks. Adam likes them.
I like them because it means I'm getting close to a big boob. Like,
It's a symbol of bigness.
It's a symbol, yes. Yes, it's like the gateway to big boobs. It means I'm getting close. You know what I'm saying?
Signpost on the road.
Yes. That's what it is. It's like big boobs straight ahead.
No detouring.
That's right. Yeah. But, Casey, you a big gal?
I'm only 4'8".
Whoa.
Whoa. Hey, how much do you weigh?
About 120, 25 pounds.
Uh-huh. And 36D already, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't even know if you should waste your time screwing with a stretch mark before you're like 20 anyway. You think so, Drew? I mean,
that's
do you
probably
think they just come back or whatever?
Yeah, I think that's actually true.
Oh, no, but like I have them in different areas.
Thighs.
And
yeah, I heard it.
And S.
Oh. Very astute, Adam.
Thank you. Okay, here's the
anatomical
thing. I'm going to ask SA and Peanut if what they think of the stretch marks.
Well, I'm not too familiar with stretch marks because I'm not sure what they look like, I guess.
Really? They just look like little tiger stripes under the skin.
All
Never
right.
seen a stretch mark?
To be honest with you, I can't say.
What
I'm sure I have.
Life.
I just, yeah, I guess
so. You ever, like, played hoop with a fat guy?
I'm always outside, Adam. I don't know.
He's an outdoorsy guy.
If you play hoop with fat guys, you'll see stretch marks. You see them, like, back in India. Like, also, big black guys will have them, like,
around
the back of their shoulders
muscle
and stuff. Like,
rips.
Big muscle. Yeah, big muscle-bound guys.
It's natural.
Doesn't bother me, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not the most attractive thing, but, you know, there's also way worse things. You know,
On a dude, it's not like varicose veins or anything.
No, not whatsoever.
As a matter of fact, when women get them a little bit on the hip, just a little bit on the outside of the hip there, and they're in their bikini, and they got a little oil on them and stuff, it's not bad. It's not a deal breaker.
Like a little gristle.
By any
I gotcha.
Stretch of the imagination. You guys get that?
Wow.
All right. So she's fine. Don't worry about it.
And again, there's surgeons that can look into it, but not a lot can be done with these.
Yeah, all the creams and everything don't really do anything, though, right?
No, they really don't. No, they really
all right.
Don't.
William? I told you we'd get out to a great start tonight.
Yeah.
William?
Oh, hi. I was wondering if there is any cure for shy bladder syndrome.
Mm-hmm. We mean you can't pee in front of other people?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's debate about what that is.
Oh.
Whether it's just an anxiety disorder or whether it's a trauma survivorship or whether it's some autonomic dysfunction where you can't release the tension on your detrusor muscles. There are probably medicines out there that may make it a little easier, possibly.
Yeah. Like a wine cooler. You got to loosen up a little. You know, when people are drunk, they have no difficulty urinating. They'll take a whiz on the White House lawn when you get a few boozes in you. You loosen right up. You really do. Think
you
about
do.
All the urinating people are doing in public when they're drunk. And they have no difficulty with it all. Balconies, out of moving cars. I've been just about everywhere.
I've gotten picked up for that, actually.
I was going to say something, but...
Moving cars or balconies?
On the side of the building, I guess.
On New York.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He peed on the island.
You can get...
Did you get picked up
for that?
And there was a cop just waiting right around the corner. It was great. It was raining outside. It was lovely. It would have been a perfect picture.
I think...
Our manager had to bail him out.
I think the urinating in public is one of the most common but least thought of as common citations. I bet you if you took 100 guys between the age of 20 and 40 and asked who's gotten a public urination thing, there'd be 15 guys in that group. Engineer Chris been nailed 11 times, he told me.
Really?
Yeah, that was one 4th of July weekend. It was brutal.
It's busy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wine coolers.
Yeah, so a little booze, and I don't know if William, he's 15, so he probably shouldn't be drinking. Don't you think I think the way to get over
it. Move to Europe. You're all right.
Shouldn't he just go test himself out in public places?
Yeah, I'm sure there are behavioral ways to do it of sort of deconditioning and, you know, sort of desensitizing him to it.
Yeah, you focus real hard on the grout line and the tile that lines up with your eyes and just stare at it until you get into some sort of zen-like state and then just begin the whizzing.
Deconstruct it.
This is, by the way... a problem that I didn't know was as rampant as it actually is.
Did you mention that before, 5 seconds ago? I'm not sure.
What are you talking about, Drew?
I'm sorry.
Shut up, jackass. I'm talking about getting the... How dare you, by the way, over there chasing a nickel in Poughkeepsie, and you have the temerity to lash out at me, the anchor of the show.
How's Jejun of you? How's Jejun?
I'm at the helm of this ship. You're in steerage shoveling coal, and you have the temerity to barge into the captain's office and attack him verbally? How dare you, sir? Huh. Now, here's what I was going to say before I was so rudely interrupted. This problem, not the ticketing problem, Drew, just the problem of urination is so widespread, I didn't realize it until on the Man Show during the Wheel of Destiny when it landed on Adam Pease on your wallet.
Oh, right.
And
right.
We pulled out this guy's wallet and tossed it in the urinal, and I just turned my back to about 300 people and just started whizzing on it. More positive feedback from that one ad.
That episode, right?
A lot of guys coming up going, hey, man, I couldn't do that. And I was like, well, what's it? Why not? And they're just like,
Now you're the poster child for that.
Just couldn't
thing.
Do it. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sort of their spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we were in Amsterdam, we saw outdoor public bathrooms. They were just like It was like a triangle separated by little pots you would just walk up to, no door, no nothing.
Right.
And it was just, it was hilarious. It was obscene and hilarious and very practical at the same time.
Yeah, I think I saw those in England. It's sort of like a triangle or square. It's
like
sort of
a urination kiosk.
Yeah, it had a little alcove, so when you turned your back to society, they really couldn't see much, but you weren't whizzing on the guy who was standing across from
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And, Drew, weren't we just talking about this the other night?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
would be
absolutely.
A good place to practice. Go to Amsterdam, loosen up,
mm-hmm.
have a drink on your international flight, and you'll be ready to go when you land.
Exactly.
Yeah.
After a couple of years, if you're still having the problem.
I also...
The Dutch are great people.
One of the ways I got over it is I constructed a sort of a urination obstacle course in my dad's backyard where I actually had plywood cut out. Pedestrians standing around. I actually piped in some music and some tape recordings of people talking and, you know, foot traffic and that kind of thing, and got comfortable with urinating in a public place. It's yeah, okay,
it's a behavioral technique. Sure.
Thank you. You work it out. Go to Dodger Stadium
or the Laura? Rose Bowl. That's where we all put
the Rose
cross.
Bowl. You actually just whiz yeah. on the floor, you know, with about 150 guys with yeah. one communal drain. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Laura. Laura?
Hi, good evening.
You're 20?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First, I just want to say that I really appreciate Love Lying. I think you guys do a lot of good for teenagers especially, so thanks for having the show.
Here, here.
Appreciate it.
And I'm actually asking Dr. Drew about a comment he made several weeks ago about fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
And about it being a sleep disorder?
No, actually, you and Adam were talking about how it seemed to you to be a disease largely in people's minds.
Well, yeah, we're making fun of it.
No, Adam was making fun of it.
Yeah, it's what I said, disease.
I'm sorry, what?
What we were saying was that it needs to be differentiated from other syndromes like depression,
mm-hmm.
and that in my experience, fibromyalgia essentially in all cases is a sleep disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And if you correct the sleep disorder, if you can, the fibromyalgia symptoms get a lot better.
Oh, okay. And I guess I did not understand that you were joking about it.
And
he was making fun of
all addicts get fibromyalgia.
Who?
Well, the problem
is... Hold on a second. What is... Explain to everyone what that is.
It's just a syndrome of... simply speaking, your muscles hurt all the time. And
yeah.
it's, you know, it's a very painful and unpleasant and sometimes disabling condition. It is clearly... a brain disorder, a brain muscular disorder, that it's not anything in the muscle so much as something started in the brain.
Yes. All right. Laura?
Hi, yeah. Well, I've had it since I was 15, and at times it's been so bad that even large amounts of Vicodin can't do anything, you know, and it's...
Are you a trauma survivor?
I had it, the onset of it, after I had a terrible allergic reaction.
No, but I mean, were you abused in some way growing up?
No, not at all. I come from a very stable household. But the problem I've experienced is running into doctors and other adults who immediately dismiss the illness,
mm-hmm.
Which makes it really difficult because there are no blood tests or other... empirical evidence you can give that mm-hmm. it exists, and some doctors and people simply don't believe in it.
Well, how'd you get mm-hmm. diagnosed with it?
Well, it really is almost like a checklist of symptoms, you know?
It's once you've ruled everything else out.
Right.
All
like,
right.
My joints feel like I have arthritis like an 80-year-old woman, and it's painful for me to be touched by other people.
Well, I'll tell you something. Focus on correcting the sleep problem.
Right.
Pay a lot of attention there.
What were you allergic to, by the way?
So stupid. I was put on an internal acne medicine because I had very slight acne, and I went to an overzealous dermatologist.
And what were you put on?
I can't believe I just forgot the name, Dinosin. And I had a severe allergic reaction. I had to be rushed to the emergency room. And since then, I've had fibromyalgia. Mm.
All right.
How does that work?
I'm sorry?
How does
I smell post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, my case probably is a bit more complicated than that.
Yeah.
It ended up that I had a brain tumor, but that was not found until 3 years after I had the fibromyalgia develop.
Uh-huh. What did they do with the brain tumor?
I had it surgically removed 2 years ago.
Was it a meningioma?
Yeah, it was a craniopharyngioma.
Craniopharyngioma? Wow.
Yeah, it's so kind of like winning the lottery.
That's way down, but just above the pituitary, so that's right. A pretty hairy operation.
True, true. Hold on. Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
Good times, dude. So you may not even have fibromyalgia, really.
I'm sorry.
I mean, it is technically fibromyalgia, but fibromyalgia has to have no cause. You have had brain surgery. I mean, sometimes that's enough to trigger that kind of thing.
Well, but she had this before the thing, but,
yeah, but maybe
she had a tumor in her noggin.
Right, and maybe that was sort of triggering a lot of this. So that then God only knows, you open your head up or you have a tumor pushing on your brainstem, that will affect your sleep disorder, cause sleep disorders, and then that will set you up for the fibromyalgia. So
any tumors that do anything good, Drew? You know, may make you better at math or speak another language fluently or something like that.
Not that I can think of right off the top of my head. Not brain tumors, not typically.
Man.
Yeah, but good times.
It just would seem like it'd be nice if there was a tumor that, you know, started growing and it, you know, all of a sudden you just became, you know, just a whiz at geometry or something. You know?
Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
No? Okay. All right, we'll get to work on that, would you?
I had a patient with a progressive neuromuscular weakness disorder called Kugelberg-Wielander syndrome, and he swore that you get smarter as you age with that syndrome, and there were other patients that said the same thing.
Really?
Interesting.
Like, who else? Anyone famous have that?
No.
Okay. Well, that's a good ending to that story. Would have been nice if you could have come up with one famous. Einstein didn't have Kugelberg syndrome or anything?
Beautiful Mind Guy.
Yeah, what about Beautiful Mind Guy?
Isn't that his real name?
No.
Kugelberg?
Hawking. Yep. Somebody.
Yeah, how about Hawking?
Yep.
No?
No.
All right. He's smart.
Jeremy?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm 15. I weigh like 250 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I want to know how, like, I can get this down. And, like, mm-hmm. I, like, work out and everything. Mm-hmm. But I have, like, an on and off diet because the...
Well, here's a simple plan. See a dietitian. Because sometimes working with a human, working with another person, particularly a skilled person, things will change.
Okay.
Now, the statistics, though, on this, if you're really, truly obese, if you're overweight to the point that it's a medical issue, sometimes the operations are necessary and important intervention. But first, really make a thorough and aggressive attempt at diet.
Are your parents big?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I mean, your folks are big. It's tough. By the way, you could not be in 311. This is a very rangy band.
Let's hear a song.
Almost no body fat on 311.
But take care of yourself. We want you around longer.
Yeah, how about going to a dietitian? Will your parents send you to one?
I've, like, gone to, like, a psychiatrist and stuff, like, and it's, like, kind of all thing together because, you know, I didn't do all my schoolwork and I was, like, dropping grades, and they gave me Adderall, and it was supposed to like down my appetite or something.
Yeah,
but it just like made me go to sleep all the time.
I don't think that answered my question, but
no.
Go to it. Listen, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Exercise. Don't eat so much, and go to a dietitian. Okay, there you go.
Hey, we're heading back towards last night.
Yeah. Well, look,
he's trying.
I know, you're trying valiantly.
Listen, it's a horrible night, but all I'm saying is you know, it says 5'6", 250 pounds, can't lose weight. I can't tell if people can't speak over the phone. I can't figure it out from reading what their problem is. This is a short, fat kid, you know? Fat kids are usually jolly, too. They overcompensate. They're all full of jokes. I thought we'd get a young Dom DeLuise type over here. Instead, we got a guy whose jowls were so big he couldn't move his mouth. Now, look, here's Drew. What about this?
Yeah.
Don't you think that schools are going to have to start having dietitians, like not just nurses, but they need dietitians, right?
They take out the Coke, take out the
snacks. They just got to stop getting sponsored by Coke and Pepsi and everything. I mean, they're bringing in so many, such big dollars that the public schools are just kind of overwhelmed by it, and they're seeing the effects 5 years down the road. It was starting to get in when I was in high school, and now it's all over the place, and now all the kids are fat, and it's kind of a paper thin, you know, I can see it from a mile away kind of thing going on. It's too bad.
And by the way, you know, What about this theory that I just came up with, Drew, which is, you know, kids aren't into booze. They're not into drugs. I mean, not when you're 11. Later on, when you turn 14, you start listening to this show, then you get into the booze and the drugs. But at age 11, churros are your drug, and grape soda is your booze, you know what I mean? And there's a whole generation of kids that are growing up that, like, look, I like what I like. I want to eat it when I want to eat it, and I want to eat as much of it as I can. And I want to eat McDonald's every night. I want to eat fish sticks. I want to eat corn dogs. I want to. And there's not much discipline worked into, you know, look, eat your broccoli flour kind of thing. And they go to school, and they find it, and it's, they find it all the fast food places. Here's all I'm wondering. Are these people who are almost sort of junkies when it comes to food and sweets and sugar and all that at age 11, are these guys going to be the addicts of the future? Like the people that can't say no, the people that have trouble disciplining themselves?
You know, people, I don't. Well, trouble saying no, trouble delaying gratification is something that, you know, if somebody does not learn how to do, is going to be trouble in many areas of their life for their whole entire life.
Right.
But I don't know of any evidence that the food, indulging in food leads to any substance abuse. I don't know of any evidence of that.
Well, at least the people, the kids that don't really have the intestinal fortitude forged at an early age. Like, look, you don't drink a Coke. And first off, it's 9 a.m. You can't drink a Coke. Secondly, you're not going to get it in a 64-ounce container. We're going to limit you to 35 ounces of Coke.
So
you know, you just can't have everything supersized. You can't. And yeah, I don't know how you avoid it if, like, both your parents are working and you're going to school and it's just nothing but, you know, sticky buns and sloppy joes, like, and vending machines full of Mountain Dew. What the hell are you going to do about this?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Watch out.
Yeah.
It's a big issue. It's a really serious issue.
All right, Drew, why don't you do something about it?
Stop.
All right, let's work on that.
Yeah. Why don't you run for Surgeon General?
All right, there you go. Good times.
Do you run for that or you just get appointed?
You get appointed.
Well, why don't you start kissing some ass so you can be Surgeon General?
Grow a beard.
I first need to be in the military.
You need a beard.
So work on
that. Military. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, you do? Do you got to be in the military?
You just need the military beards.
You just get the outfit. They just give you the one from the USS Pinafore, whatever the hell musical that was, at Pirates of Penzance. All right, we got to take a break, Drew.
Yeah.
You start working on your mustache-less beard and sew some epaulettes onto your shirt. We'll take a quick break. Drew is over there in, where the hell are you?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville. Really a beautiful city. You guys ever been here?
Gorgeous. I've been there many times.
It's very nice, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Have I been there, Drew?
No.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for it. 311 in the Hizzy tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Knoxville, Tennessee tonight. He'll be in studio tomorrow night. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. 311 in here tonight. Peanut, S.A. here representing the band. And we're going to hear a song from 311. I thought maybe we'd take a call and then we'll hear a song from 311. So, Drew, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, buddy. Didn't mean to disturb you. Christina?
Yes?
You're 14.
Yes, I am.
What's up, baby doll?
There's this boy at school that I like. He's my age, and I don't know if he likes me, but we seem to have a lot in common, but he seems to go for more, attractive girls.
What do you mean by that?
Like,
yeah, how do you know you're not attractive?
Well, a lot of people tell me, but I think they just tell me just, like, to say that, because a lot of people at school put me down, just,
really?
Like, yeah.
I don't understand. They put you down by telling you you're attractive?
No, by telling me I'm ugly and my, like, my boobs are little, things like that.
Uh-huh. That kid's great. They're great.
People are jerks.
Kids are great. Yeah. But, you know, I was thinking about today, Christina, not there's anything wrong with you, but I was talking to a guy I work with today, and I was saying, you know, being a super smoking hot chick is its own kind of handicap. Like, I was saying, you know, first off, like, Nicole Brown, OJ's ex-wife, is really dead because she's hot. if you think about it. I mean, she was a, you know, you ever see pictures of her at 17 or 18? She's
she made some decisions along the way to add it to it.
No, but here's the point. She's 18 years old. She's working at some, you know, bistro on the west side. She's a hostess. OJ comes in, takes one look at that, and the next thing you know, they're going on vacation to Mexico.
Right.
If you're an ugly chick, you're going to college.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't want anyone to be ugly, but I am saying if you're really hot, it's its own sort of double-edged sword. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
You're right.
It's going to change your future.
I mean, this kid, he could be attracted to, you know, confidence, you know, and not necessarily like...
Yeah.
Not at 14.
Well, like, no.
Who knows? I don't know.
Maybe at 54.
Okay.
64. Christina?
Yes?
Give or take 10 years.
So, let's see. So, some people say you're unattractive. Other people say you are attractive.
But, like, when I go to, like, different schools just to visit, to, like, just... I just, like, walk around with friends. And then, like, they always seem to... like me, and they always like they're trying like to get my number or ask me out or
that's a good thing. Well, are you at a small school? Are you what? do you go to a very small school?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you need to get some friends outside of that school.
Yeah,
that's the
big thing. What goes on, by the way, that you go touring other schools at 14?
There was this thing going on at this other school in Elmwood. It's about like 5 minutes from here. And my friend invited me, so I went there, and these guys just came up to us, and they're just talking to us.
Look, here's all you got to do, Christina, is if this guy is anywhere in the vicinity, you can, you know, talk to him. Be friendly to him. If he likes you, he'll ask you out.
Right.
Okay.
And here's a good one, too, by the way. We haven't talked about this in a while. This will kickstart a guy a little bit. You start bringing up stuff like you bring up a movie.
We haven't gone over this in a long time. Go ahead.
It's been a while. You just say stuff like, boy, I heard that. What's out in the theaters these days?
Passion
of the Christ. Yeah, 14-year-olds love movies that are in Aramaic and spelled out.
Come on. Go over there.
All right. Now, here's how it goes. What's in there? Hellboy? Girl Next Door. That's rated R, too.
Is 51st Dates. How about that?
51st Dates. I don't think it's in theaters, but it is. Here's how it goes.
If you like someone a couple of weeks ago.
I heard that 51st Dates. Yeah, if you got a time machine that is limited to, let's say, 30 days, like a time machine will just get you back to, like, earlier in the week, then you go back early in the week when 51st Dates is in the theater, and you say, well, I've been wanting to see. I heard that 51st Dates was a pretty funny movie. Been wanting to see that. If the guy or the person likes you, they'll go, all right, haven't seen that one either. Okay, that pushes it along. If they say, I have seen it and it sucked, or I have no use, you know, if they're interested, they'll either say, yeah, I saw it, it's great, I kind of want to see it again. Boom, you're in. And if they say, yeah, I've heard it was great, I want to see that too, you're in. As a matter of fact, if you just use
the movie
thing, what's that?
My boyfriend's going to take me. Then you're out.
Yeah, well, all right. Right.
Damn it.
Test
the water.
The movie thing will let you know whether you pass go and collect $200 or stop where you are. Because anybody who's got this much interest in you will go, yeah. Heard. And, by the way, even if they're dying to see the movie, if they don't like you, they're not going to go, yeah, I've been wanting to see that myself. Because they know that's going to lead to you two sitting next to each other, and they don't want that. So just bring up a movie. And if they go for it, you're good. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
You ready to hear a little 311?
I'm so ready.
All right.
It sounds better in Knoxville.
Drew, could you sound more like Ben Stein when you say that? Come on. How about a little enthusiasm for 311,
Drew? Ready.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
How about that 311? You ready to hear a song from them?
Woo-wee!
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, Drew. Now, just cool your jets. I'm going to get to it, all right?
Let's go.
Well, let me set it up. I
got to
say the title of the song. Otherwise, it's going to be confusing. Now, just relax.
All right.
It's coming, okay?
All right.
Okay. This is a song from 311. It's on the 51st Dates. Hey, I want to see that movie. And
you haven't seen it yet?
It's called, wait a minute. Someone's getting a BJ. It's called Love Song. everybody. Little 311 for you. Off the 51st Dates soundtrack, out in stores as we speak. If you want to find
Robert
out...
Robert Smith signed with 311.
Yeah, really. It's true. It was a nice rendition. 311, by the way, if you want to find out any of their tour dates or anything, just go to www.311.com. And you can find out when they're coming to a town near you. All right, Drew. Here's
All
Jen.
Right, Adam.
She's 25. She lost 145 pounds. You want to talk to her?
Fabulous.
All right. Jen?
Yeah.
You've lost 145 pounds.
Actually, it's more close to 170.
Jeez. Nice.
Wow. Damn. Well, she's been on hold for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's nice.
Well, I consider it probably my biggest accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Nice.
Yeah.
How do you feel now?
I feel really good.
How did you
sound great?
Now, what I'm terribly, terribly interested in is how people get to the point where they suddenly are willing to make change.
You
what
know,
was
I
that
can
moment?
Speak to that.
What?
I can actually speak to that.
What was that moment? Tell me.
It was completely, first of all, I needed to get away from my home life. It wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
And I used food as an escape. And then I went off to college. And once I got my degree, I got to grad school. And I looked at myself, and I looked at how I was, and I thought, okay, I need to be able to love myself, and I can't love myself with the way I am. I'm too unhealthy.
You couldn't. Why that moment?
Masturbate? Wait a minute.
The very moment that
my
I
remember. God, ever got so big I couldn't get to my junk. That's I would kill myself. Forget about losing the weight, Drew.
But you must have been thinking about things like that for many years. What happened at the moment when you went ahead and started changing?
Right. That was when someone who I actually fell in love with said he was going to come out and visit me in eight months, and that gave me my starting point. And I said, okay, I'm going to go in tomorrow and start working out.
Yeah.
And that was it for me.
Good for you.
Yeah. And how much did you get down by the time he got down out there?
By the time he got out there, I had lost, it had been gradual, so I was only about 40 pounds away from my goal. So I had met him when I weighed about 250 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and then by the time
Black
he
guy?
Got no. out there, I weighed about 170.
Wow.
That's great. That's Listen, nice. I want to talk to her a little more off the air, if you don't mind, because I'm actually terribly, terribly interested in interviewing a series of people like her and find out what they have in common that gets them, why other people can't do that, and what is unique about these people that can.
Really? Because I'd like to talk to you off the air, Drew, because I'm doing a series where I talk to people that talk to people off the air.
Well, I'm willing to talk to you.
About weight loss. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like looking into a mirror with a mirror behind you, but I find it fascinating.
That's
Let's
cool.
Really, yeah, I want to see what makes a guy like you tick who wants to know how other people tick. Off the air.
Off the air only.
Yeah, I'm going to call it Way Off the Air with Adam Carolla. You want to talk to her, Drew?
Yes, please. Right. If they would keep her on hold or get me a number. Hey, Anderson, you got that?
She's going to love herself.
Yeah, get a number to call. That's very isn't that interesting, though.
To love herself with a bicycle mirror on it.
She sounds great.
Yeah.
But think about that. Think about how many people are out there intending to change, wanting to change, and then all of a sudden, pow, somebody changes. Now, what happened to that person? Can we give that to other people?
Well, let me say this, too. I think we all do it this way with whatever things we're trying to do less of. They have their momentum. Like, when you start losing weight, you actually see some results, and you sort of look a little better, it becomes this direction. It's a path
yes.
that you want to continue heading down.
Absolutely.
And,
but the question is, how do you get people moving down that path? That's the hardest part.
Right. Well, it's got to be along the same lines of getting out of an unhealthy relationship. You know, it's just, you know, you just got to take that brave step, and that first step is going to be the hardest. And just like you said, after that, it's going to be easier and easier. So it's just something that you got to see is better for you especially and everybody else involved. It's just
healthier. Wouldn't you guys all agree that there's a certain percentage of society, a majority of society, when it gets to a certain age, starts to learn from their mistakes, starts to do a little less of the stuff they did before. But then there's a segment of society that just takes it to the grave, takes all the excess or the abuse or whatever the habitual behavior is. You know, there's a small percentage of society, and maybe not that small, maybe it's 15-20%, that's just going to take their ass to the grave, whatever it was they started, whatever they were like in high school is exactly what they're going to be like on the 20-year reunion.
Stubborn.
And so on. Yeah, it's kind of stupid meets stubborn. But they both start with an S.
Stubborn.
Stubborn. It's stubborn because one part of it is stubborn, and the other part is just you're so goddamn stupid you haven't learned from any of the, you know, you're on your fifth divorce, and you're getting ready to tie the knot again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. But, Drew, for those who will change and do change, somewhere in their mid-20s, it usually they run out of a little bit of steam with whatever they've been pushing, that rock
yeah.
they've been dragging around the whole time.
Darwinism.
Yeah. There is stuff that gets better naturally as the biology changes with aging.
Yeah. You talk to Jen off the air, and then we'll talk off the air.
You and I.
Way off.
Yeah, way off. Way off the air.
But I thought you wanted... You've always threatened you want to do a documentary on boring people.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but there'll be no film in the camera.
We'll be right back.
All right. even Homer's bored. We're going to take a quick break. 311 here tonight. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Bill, Tennessee. He'll be back in the studio tomorrow night.
By the way, these people do not screw around with their orange.
Oh, man, it's everywhere. It's mad.
Oh, volunteer orange, huh?
Oh, yeah. Woo!
Watch out. They love their Phil. They love their Pat Summit.
Yeah, it's Tennessee, Tennessee Volunteers. Tennessee, I know, they have a big football program. And
yeah.
They have a big women's basketball program.
That's
right.
The Women's right. Basketball Hall of Fame is here.
Really?
Right. And they've gotten beat in the past, like, 4 years in the final.
Yeah.
By, like a UConn or something?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you really had to bring that up, didn't you, S.A.?
Why?
You know, Drew's over there in, you know, Knoxville.
My wife is from that area, so I can bring whatever I want to bring up
all right,
about
sorry.
That area.
Sorry.
They
sorry.
Don't exactly feel bad about it. They've been in the finals for 4 years.
Yeah, I know.
In a row,
that's
you know
an
saying?
Achievement. I mean, how many teams can say that?
Women's sports getting out of hand recently.
Mm.
Yeah, we got to reel it back in just a little bit, ladies. Starting to take over. You know what I mean?
Let the guys have some.
Yeah. And women basketball players could officially kick not professional college players' asses, but you know, there's certain sports where you feel like even if you're just a weekend warrior, you could still handle the ladies even at that level. Basketball, not anymore.
No way.
Those chicks are dunking now.
Yeah.
All right. Drew.
Yep.
You ready to rock?
Yep.
And by the way, you see there's like a McDonald's All-Star Games and stuff? These 16-year-old guys are just taking off from the foul line and jamming. Like, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
I don't know where the hell... I don't know where it's going, but it's getting there fast.
Real fast, yeah.
Like, you ever think, well, your kid, is he going to be able to play, you know, high school basketball? Like, is he going to be able to do a reverse jam when he's 15?
Hell yes.
Oh, yeah? Oh, Peanut. Yeah, Peanut's tall. I mean, it's like, I'm 6'2". I could, in my prime, could dunk a volleyball. Just something I could palm.
That sounds like a dare.
Yeah. No, I can't do it anymore. I might be able to do it. You can. Can you dunk?
No.
It's hard just to hang on to the ball.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. If I had large enough hands, I could probably do it.
Yeah.
And I play lots of ball. I love basketball. It's a good thing for any overweight kid out there.
Yeah, play that
especially
hoop.
Me.
And get them ankle braces. You'll screw yourselves up. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
I got calls picked out.
Let's go.
Let's play some ball.
Oh, man. I had a big boob call and it fell off.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Now, a lot of guys would go to the next call, but not me. I'm going to pout. Wow, am I bummed out. She is like a 36, like triple D, and
we did that already.
Yeah,
we
had
one of them. Let's get something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We did that.
One track mind.
Yeah. All right. Ian. Yeah, you know, saying that to me is like saying to a junkie, you did heroin last week. But I don't understand. What are you doing?
I'm concerned, Adam. You may not be able to hang with these guys.
Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing too. If you guys like small boobs, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave.
What? You wouldn't ask us to leave. Come on.
You know,
Ian,
like,
what's going on, my man?
All right. Ian?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yep.
What's up?
whenever I get, like, intimate with my girlfriend, I have a tendency to, like, doze off and fall asleep almost.
During sex?
Yes.
Wow.
Woo.
She must be tight.
Yeah.
That can hurt a girl's self-esteem, by the way.
Yeah. She gets really mad at me when it happens.
What about that, Drew?
This is a bizarre thing. You need to give me more information. Are you on drugs or loaded or anything when you're doing this?
No, it's normally when I'm sober. When I'm stoned or something, it doesn't happen.
You don't take any medication?
No.
And does this happen with other girls?
It's only happened with this one girl.
And it's during intercourse?
Yes, during intercourse.
You fall absolutely asleep?
Yeah.
And you don't think there's something peculiar about that?
Well, that's why I'm calling.
No, but I mean, you seem rather matter-of-fact about it. Aren't you kind of disturbed?
Well, yeah, I'm disturbed about it. I mean, I went to my doctor and told him about it, and he said...
No.
Yeah, that's bogus. What I'm thinking, bogus. Yeah,
bogus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at 19, yeah. The excitement level...
Watch. Just see what your doctor said.
I don't care how many times you've done it.
What?
What'd your doctor say?
My doctor, he said...
Mason,
hold on. I'm driving right now. Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I saw he was said, to the phone.
What'd your doctor say?
I knew it was coming.
My doctor, he said he doesn't know what to say. I went to him. And he
talk about a payoff. Woo! We struck gold there. Glad I went back to him. All right. So your doctor said he didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
He referred me to a specialist.
What kind of specialist?
A sex specialist. I don't remember what they were called, but...
No, that is ridiculous. No. There is no such thing. That is ridiculous.
Well, there's...
And he would not... That's not where he'd be referring you. He'd be referring you either to a sleep specialist or a neurologist, because this is a neurologic symptom. Your sensorium becomes altered in a stimulating situation. That is very abnormal.
Yeah. Is that the purple part?
Huh?
The sensorium.
Yeah.
Is that the ball part? Is that in the... Yeah, okay. All right, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a very dangerous place in this phone call, which is I'm straddling not believing you, and then on the other side of that fence is not caring.
Right.
So now we're in a very dangerous zone.
The ball's in your court.
Because there's really nothing here. Like, I don't believe you, and even if I did, I wouldn't care. I go see a sleep specialist.
Or neurologist.
CAT scan.
Neurologist. Yeah, exactly.
That's bogus. 311 here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Knoxville, Tennessee. Go Volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Go. Go Big Orange.
They say go Vols.
Vols.
Go Vols.
Yeah. But then you end up saying, you don't say volunteer, do you? You say volunteer.
Volunteer. Go Vols.
Yeah, but they they're like Vols.
They don't say Vols.
Yeah.
They say Vols.
Yeah. I think it's short for vulva.
It's Achius. Go Vols. That's
go
how they
vulvas.
Say
Essay knows.
Who's here tonight? Yeah, Peanut is here, and so is Essay from 311. Here's something else off their CD in this hour. Drew's going to be back in studio tomorrow night, and I'm just going to get rid of a couple people who have been on hold for a long period of time, like Emily, who's 15.
Yeah,
hi. For 71 minutes. What's going on?
I am a cutter, and I also have addiction to Vicodin and other pills. And I've been going to some AA meetings with my aunt, and I was wondering if you think the AA should be strictly for alcoholics or if it's okay, because I've been to a few meetings, and they seem to have helped me a lot.
Well, it's okay, but you're going to need a lot more than a few meetings.
Well, opiate, like what?
You may need like five.
Listen, first of all, the meetings are just a small piece of what you need to do. You need to obtain a sponsor. You need to meet with that sponsor on a daily basis. You need to be completely off drugs and alcohol. And if you can't stop doing them, you need to go in the hospital and detoxify. If you are trying to do it with community-based 12-step only, you're going to have to go to at least two or three meetings a day and have that be the focus of your life for a few weeks.
Yeah, but see, my parents don't know about the drug problems. They just know that I cut myself.
Yeah, but. Listen, the fact that you cut and are on drugs suggests you're a trauma survivor also. So these are really serious issues, and you're getting addicted, or you are now addicted, to the most serious form of addiction, which is opiate addiction. And you have to do something about it. It's not going to get better. It's a progressive condition, and unless you take it very seriously and go at it full bore, this is going to get a lot worse.
I agree with Drew. You got to take a chill pill.
Okay, well, would you guys recommend AA or NA more?
Whichever one you relate to. NA is probably a little better for you, but if you relate strongly to AA, but you haven't gone, you're not doing anything. You haven't got a sponsor. You're not working the steps. You've turned up at a couple meetings. That's not doing anything.
Yeah, well, hold on a second.
Hold on, Emily. Chill pill. I want to ask Drew something because it is reminding me. I don't know the difference between like a AA meeting and an NA meeting. Well, I mean, I know there's a difference in the substance, but what's the difference? Is there a difference in the message?
No, same basic process, but the culture is a little different. The issues are, you know, people are trying to share common sources of pain, and opiate addicts right. have a common history, common
so it's,
phenomenon.
It's more about just being around people that have been through the same experience.
Similar history, similar issues. Yeah.
Yeah. But if I do end up going to one of the A meetings, I'm going to like the CA. West Hollywood CA.
Yeah, I figured that.
Smoking hot chicks over there, you know?
Where?
Yeah, the Cocaine guys. Anonymous on the West Side.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to have a couple of gay guys over there, but lots of hot chicks.
That's the magnet. That's the magnet.
Yeah, that's where I'm heading. Emily?
Yeah.
Maybe you should go to a CA meeting on the West Side. You're in Seattle.
Yeah.
But Emily, what you're describing usually does not respond to merely community-based treatment. You're going to have to go somewhere and get comprehensive treatment for a while.
Were you traumatized, Emily?
I think I was molested as a child. I'm not sure. I just have flashbacks.
That would fit.
It would make sense. How about some therapy, baby doll?
I had therapy at one point. Therapy won't.
That's what I'm talking about.
A professional watching or sort of helping you through the process, but therapy by itself would not do much for the constellation problems that she has.
Okay.
I think you're going to have to let your parents know that you have a problem with substances.
Well, I would do that, but my dad's abusive, you know, and I don't want him to flip out on me or something.
What would he do? Would he get violent?
Yeah, I actually got in a big fight with him the other night, and he ended up, like, throwing me halfway across the room, and he's abusive emotionally, you know, and it's, you know.
Well, maybe that's something that a therapist could do for you, though, is stand up for you or help you stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
And sort of be, that could be the person that's responsible for sending you to the appropriate care, so it's not about you being the focus of his rage.
How about talking to your mom?
My mom is a methamphetamine addict.
Oh.
It's good times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think the sister that's helping you.
Oh, my aunt.
Which is her sister.
Yeah.
Right. You need to talk to her, and I know you have been, but, I mean, tell her what Drew said.
Yeah. You've got to get very serious about this.
I'm not sure. If you can't go to your mom and you can't go to your dad, it's nice.
How old is she?
She's 15.
Boy.
I'll bet her mom's sister was like a meth head for a while. Got herself cleaned up, now sees the path that Emily is going down and is trying to get her out of that environment and get some help.
She actually seems more like someone who is the caretaker for the family and needs everybody to stay sick, because somebody actually in recovery wouldn't let Emily get away with this.
Well, she's going to the meetings herself, I think her
No, she's
is.
Taking her to the meetings, which is a classic codependent move.
I got the feeling she was going with her. Emily?
Going with her, but not participating.
Well,
What?
Is your aunt attending these meetings as well, or is she just driving you?
She is a former alcoholic, actually. She never did meth. She never did any of that stuff. She just has.
So she's in recovery.
Yeah, she's in recovery, and I told her about...
Stand corrected. Adam's a genius.
Know everything?
Adam knows everything. Never question Adam.
Please. I just know what people mean, Drew. So here's the thing with you, Drew. Drew went to... He read a lot of books. He went to college, but he's a robot. Robots, they only process information, but they don't have feelings, unless it's like the movies at the end when they do actually have feelings.
Oh, no.
They cry, a little drop of 30-weight oil comes down their metal cheek, but... Drew, because he's spent so much time in the library, he doesn't get vibes or inflection or anything like that. He just
nuance.
Hears words.
Bach.
Doesn't get nuance.
You're just saying that because the good doctor's not here. He'd bitch slap you.
Yeah, I know.
I've never heard this before from Adam.
Yeah. We know.
He's a passionate man, though. I will say that about him.
That's right.
He's
a
very
man.
Brilliant guy. No, not brilliant. Passionate.
Yes, he is.
He's a passionate
Passionately
man.
Brilliant.
No, not when it comes to his work. When it comes to the ladies. Okay.
He's
well,
a that
man
I don't know.
Of exquisite passion. He's brimming with passion. If he was a pond, he'd be overflowing with passion, and the koi that were in it would be flip-flopping over the edge, over the coping, over the coping. You understand?
Man-sized koi.
Yes, that's right. Sperm koi.
Yeah, there you go.
You had to say it.
I did. That'd be a good name, though, for a fish. And people usually don't argue with you, especially
sperm
with the sperm whale precedent that has been set many years ago.
Spermatokoi.
Yeah. Who, by the way, did the sperm whale naming? And didn't someone give him a heads up? How come? Someone must have said, hey, so we'll call that beast the sperm whale. Didn't other people start chuckling and go,
that
hey.
Means something else.
Yeah, like, didn't someone want to give him
a... It was named for its shape.
Something? It was named for its shape,
yeah,
really?
It looks like a sperm.
So
it's not,
really?
It's not shaped like a sperm.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It's got like a huge head and then it goes thinner.
That's Anderson.
Good times.
All right, but... Look, and so is every fish is shaped like a sperm. Those little cheddar
sperm
fish
whale
look
more
like
than
sperm.
Look it up on the web. It's
tastes
got a huge head.
To it's
a stars.
Lot better.
Gefilte fish.
All right.
Oh,
all right, so,
yes.
So, Anderson, you're saying it's because it's shaped like a sperm.
Yes, that's what I've learned. I could be wrong, but that's what
okay.
I've learned.
And so the sperm whale was not named until we were looking at sperm through the microscope.
That would be the case.
All right.
That's true?
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up on the web.
Look it up, Drew.
Yeah.
We just lost Drew for the rest of the segment.
Gauntlet is down.
Go ahead, Drew. We don't need you. I'm going to take Stephanie, who's been on hold for 100 years. Stephanie?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. I've been on Loveland for about a little less than a year. Mm-hmm. And when I started taking it, I was size 8, and now I'm a size 13.
Whoa, that's bigger than a jizz walrus. You seen those?
Yeah.
Huge.
So I don't know what to do. Because I don't have...
Well, switch type of pill, that's all.
Okay, because it's really hard for me to lose weight anyways, because it took me... I was a size 15 all through high school.
Well, maybe you should get off the pill.
Yeah, well, but I don't want to get pregnant, but my boyfriend doesn't like to use condoms.
Okay, I have the answer for you.
Okay.
No, not for you.
The sperm answer. Yeah, go
sperm
ahead.
Sperm whales got their name because old whalers thought the waxy liquid in these whales' enormous heads was actually their sperm.
That's what I said.
They did not know much about anatomy and physiology. Anyway, they called the substance spermaceti, and the whales sperm whales. Scientists believe that the spermaceti serves an important function in the animal's echolocation.
Aha.
I'm never going to eat again.
Yeah. Mm. And they also thought that blowhole was originally a glory hole. Many a sailor was injured trying to penetrate the glory hole.
Flung many feet
yes,
aloft.
Very dangerous. If anyone's tried that, Chris, come on, buddy. Never?
Once?
Yeah, just one. Yeah, yeah. They know how much how traumatizing that can be.
That's why Ismail was looking for as well.
Anderson, you are wrong then.
Hey,
yes?
While we're talking about the ocean, though, I know you like those freaked
sort of
out fish.
Right. Go ahead.
I can't hear him. Is he going out on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew, be quiet.
Look up the goblin shark during the break. You'll love
it.
Goblin shark.
All right. Look up the goblin shark during the break, Drew.
Goblin?
Goblin. As in sperm goblin. All right. We got to move forward. Stephanie needs to do what, Drew? Change
Who's
the
Stephanie?
Pill. She's the fat
generally, caller. Generally, the pill, the higher the part of the estrogen, Stephanie, the more likely you are to gain weight with it. You might want either low dose or the higher strength of progesterone in the pill. That tends to be less likely to be associated with weight gain.
Or tell your boyfriend to step up to the plate and wear a condom like a man.
That's
be right. A man. Yeah, this isn't the Stone Ages. Everybody's done it. You know, of course it feels better without it, but don't be a jackass and, you know, make hard times for your lady. You know, be a man and, you know, be a gentleman.
Yeah, he doesn't have a problem with the weight that I've gained, but I do.
All right. Well, God bless him for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how much of you went from, how many pounds did you put on?
Oh, I probably was about 130 pounds, and now between 150 and 160.
Oh, that's not too much.
Yeah, but it adds to my ass.
Sure.
I said, my butt.
All right. Well, change the pill. and talk to your boyfriend, and maybe just switch to oral. You guys have been together long enough. It's time you slide into that oral phase anyway. Just sort of ride it out. You know what I mean?
See where it takes you.
Yeah, see where it takes you. Go down the oral path. See where it leads. I hit a pot of gold. Well, actually, it wasn't gold. It was that whale stuff. Samantha?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yes.
You have double D-sized boobs?
Yeah.
All righty. How tall are you?
About 5'8",
5'7". And how much you weigh?
About 150.
Mm-hmm. So you got a little extra weight on you, right?
Yeah.
All right. And you're 16.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to look into getting a reduction?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone's going to do that at 16. Plus, Adam is sort of zeroing in on a point here, which is that weight loss, just losing some weight, may bring things down a bit.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's because, like, I have back problems, and I'm all into sports and everything.
You are into sports.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. And, like growing, I'm getting into an F already, and it's like...
Yeah, and I suppose, and oh, by the way, hold on a second. I'm putting her on hold because we were talking about this on the air and maybe a little bit off the air that kids are just getting big fast. Like, I'm just seeing, like, 13-year-olds with size 12 shoes and stuff. Just a bunch of, you know, like,
right.
When I was in the seventh grade, the kids didn't weigh 185 pounds. I mean, they're just behemoths now. And I wonder, and we've been talking to a few of them, women are moving along a little bit faster too, and putting on more weight and becoming bigger, and the breasts are getting bigger. And so this whole thing where, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, it's like, look, if you got big cans, we're not going to touch them until we're 18 as far as the plastic surgery goes. Maybe we got to move that number down now.
Yeah, well, the problem is they continue growing, and so you don't want to have to do two surgeries on somebody. And then also, you know, there's a new phenomenon, Adam, that you left off your list, which is with liposuction. They're finding that some women are ending up with putting the fat in the breast. That they're when they gain weight, it goes right to the breast after liposuction.
Oh, after lipo?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's nowhere else for it to go. They've sucked out all the fat cells.
Oh, so it can't... See, I always thought lipo was just about sucking out the fat. I thought you could replace that fat.
You can. Well, basically, you suck out the cells, so you can't replace the cells, but the cells you have left can get bigger.
So when they want somewhere to go, they end up in your boobs.
Yeah, they're noticing now one of the unintended, but in some cases desirable outcomes of liposuction is the breasts get bigger, and the body doesn't change very much.
With my luck, I would get it in one eyelid. I would gain like 9 pounds in just my right eyelid.
You're huge.
I look like an elephant, man.
Your
wow. Hey, that's good times.
Great movie.
Samantha?
Yeah.
All right, baby doll. Are you depressed?
No, not really.
Okay. You have a boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about... doing, you know, exercises, you know, for your back, to strengthen your back and that kind of stuff?
Well, I do exercise and stuff, but when I try running, it hurts a lot because the breath, they like...
Right. Well, I think you can consult with a plastic surgeon.
Right.
But I do agree with Drew that a lot of these guys may be reluctant to do anything until you're 18. I mean, there's a lot of legal issues until they're sure you've stopped growing. You don't want to go through two procedures.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe what you want to do is, you know, consult with a plastic surgeon. But in the meantime, see if you can lose a couple of pounds, you know. Exercise, not by running. Do ask the surgeon or the doctor what exercises you can do to strengthen your back. Yoga, that's the key to life.
It's good stuff.
Peanut, let me say this.
Do it.
I've said this on the air that when I'm lying on my deathbed and I'm thinking about things I could have done more of and things I could have done less of, the number one thing I should have done more of would be stretching.
Yeah,
that's true. Everyone can do more.
You feel better when you stretch. Mm-hmm. Your flexibility. It relieves the tension. You don't get the all the headaches and the knots and all the thing. Yet I almost never do it, and right. I've been aware that I should do it for about 20 years. I just can't take it. But everybody should stretch more.
2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Morning, you know, after you wake up at night before you go to bed, just a little bit. Just while you're watching TV, man, get on the floor and just touch your toes or something. I mean,
Well,
that much.
I can do that from the sofa. Well, I don't have to go. Get down on the floor for that. Put my foot up. Let me ask you guys this, something I was thinking about today. And Drew, I'd like you to join in here.
I'm listening.
I almost ran over a squirrel today that was out in the street. And I thought to myself, I've seen a lot of squirrels in my life. I've never seen one taking a crap. Have you ever seen a squirrel take a crap?
Or have you ever seen a squirrel crap?
I've never seen a squirrel crap. I've never stepped in squirrel crap. I've never come out to my car and went, squirrel crap on the... For God's sake, I just waxed the goddamn thing and I get squirrel crap. I've never been standing with anyone under a tree and had a piece of squirrel crap fall down. And people say, well, you've seen it. You just haven't noticed it. But that's not a satisfactory answer. I'm talking about a squirrel pinching one. Ever seen it? I've never seen them running and have. And by the way, a squirrel almost gets run over like 10 times a week. You'd think they would crap then. You know, that's the time you crap when you're about to get run over. I never see them crap. I never seen him trailing behind them. I don't see anything on the street. Somebody was saying, well, it must just look like rat crap. And you would, but I don't know. Does it need to look like rat crap?
I think it'd be more like rabbit. I think it'd be more like rabbit crap.
Well, but there are rodents.
I've turned to the web. I've turned to the web for answers. And,
did you find anything about that jizz whale?
Well, guess who is interested in squirrel feces?
Who?
What type of person? What type of what?
Germans.
No. They'll get warm. Getting warm.
Use it to masturbate. People from Florida?
It's under the Chinese herbal mixtures.
Yeah.
Flying squirrel feces.
That'll give you a boner.
Wu Ling Zhi.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And basically, it looks like...
sounds expensive.
Tiny, flat dirt clods. Mm-hmm. You'd think it was just dirt.
That's why you never saw it.
That's why you never see it, but...
But you pick it up and eat it, and try to figure out what it did to your body, though. That you do.
Shouldn't some of it be falling? I mean, there's millions of squirrels around. Shouldn't it just be falling? And and squirrels, I think rodents can crap on the move. Because you don't ever see a rat taking a dump, either. You see rat crap, but you never see them squatting. I think they can do it while they're running. Certain animals can crap on the run. I'd like us to evolve in that direction. You know what I mean?
Once on Jackass, I think they did. They took George Carlin's test and they did it.
Right.
They were able to crap on the run?
Yeah, some guy.
George Carlin has a test about crapping
on
the run?
Well, he said it couldn't be done, and then I think it was on Jackass and someone did it.
Oh, he did it?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good
time. Pioneering television.
Funny.
That's important television. This is important radio, there's no doubt.
You know.
That's important television.
First things first.
All right. Drew, find me some squirrel crap.
I found it. What do you want to do?
All right. I just want to know where it is. I don't know what they're doing with it. I just want to step in some. I'd like something to hit me.
He wants an ounce of it.
I want to smoke some squirrel crap. All right. We got to take a little break. 311 here tonight. Hear something off the CD when we come back. Oh, Drew, someone's here, wants to know where to buy your book. We got someone else who was molested. Got someone who used to have sex with their husband all the time, now doesn't want anymore. Oh, cornucopia of calls coming in, Drew. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes. All right, we'll be back after this. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, in Tennessee tonight.
That's right.
Drew will be back in studio tomorrow night. Theoretically, Paul Tracy, the race car driver, will be in here plugging away for
You guys are going to have nothing to talk about.
Good guy. Yeah, love talking cars. I always have to tell them what size engine they have.
Yep, there you go. That sounds like you.
A little embarrassing. Drew.
Yep.
So you'll be in studio tomorrow night, yes?
Mm-hmm, yep.
All right, well, good times over there. What time is it where you are?
It's 2:27. Huh?
Oh, three hours. 3 hours difference.
It's good times. Huh? Yes.
Getting up early tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Staying up.
Essay's here tonight, so is Peanut from 311. We'll hear something off the CD, and we'll take a call first. All right, so let's see. Learned she had chlamydia today. Dumped boyfriend, began dating his pal. Oh, that sounds good. Anna?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
You dumped your boyfriend and began dating his pal.
Yeah.
The next day?
Well, it was kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you...
Well, we were going to wait.
Into the friend before this? Oh, you were going to wait?
Yeah, we were going to wait for a few weeks, but then he found out that I was going to get back together with my ex-boyfriend. And so he just asked me out then.
Well, I thought you had a plan where you were going to wait a few weeks.
Yeah, but then, I don't know. My ex-boyfriend was really sad, and I kind of felt bad, so.
I'm confused. What is the question?
I was just wondering how, because he's, like, really mad at me now, and I just was wondering if he was ever going to get, like, over it and we could still be friends, or...
Don't count on it.
Yeah. And by the way, you don't want to be friends anyway.
Right. Women are much more evolved about stuff like that. They can be friends. Men have difficulty being friends with someone they were intimate with. And if he's going to be, you got to give him 6 months of, like, no contact.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's the sort of catch-22 of these situations. At the time, but when you actually can hang out again is when both of you don't have feelings for each other anymore. And at that time, you'll have no incentive to get back and hang out. You just realize, like, here's just some chick. I finger blasted her 4 years ago and twice, and we really didn't talk that much. And now we got nothing to talk about, and there'll be no relationship.
Yeah.
So, Anna.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Well, did you have sex with him?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
All right, okay. Good. All right, now you're with his friend, and now what about his friend and himself? Can they talk?
I don't know, because, like, we just started going out, like, Thursday, and, like, so they haven't, and he's been gone since Friday. Mm-hmm.
And is this a good friend of his?
I don't know how good of friends they were. Really? Like, I think they were pretty good friends. They hung out.
Well, didn't you meet the friend through him?
No. No, he goes to my school.
Oh, okay. So you knew the friend independent. Well, it's bad, but it's not as bad as when you meet the guy because of, yeah. Right. You know, it's weird, Drew.
Hmm.
And 311.
Two-fifths of us.
When I was growing up, I think I was 15. Yeah, say 15. Yeah, I was 15. Had a wild crush on Beth Ringwald. Who was Molly Ringwald's sister, lived up the street, right? Wild crush on her. Couldn't pull the trigger, though. Was too shy. We just hung out. We were friends.
Well, no, wait a minute. At your wedding, I had a long talk with her. She said you lost your virginity to her, to use her words.
That was 14 years later.
Okay. All right. Got it.
I was 29.
Okay.
Okay. I'd been in radio for 4 years already. It was during a meet and greet.
It's hard to admit.
We found our way, you know, toward each other several months later. But by the way, Drew, don't talk to anybody I know, please. It's always embarrassing. You always report back horrible, embarrassing things to me. Here's the point. I was into her. I had a wild crush on her, and I was hanging out with my friend Kenny, who was like. He was a couple years older than I was. He was like senior in high school, and I was like in the 10th grade. Well, next thing you know, the three of us are hanging around, and the next thing you know, these two are going out.
Oops.
All right. That's rough. But he drove. He had a car and all that stuff. I understood. You know, when you're in 10th grade and you're a hot chick, you want to date a senior guy, not some goofball 10th grader who doesn't even have his learner's permit yet. Now, here's where it gets weird.
Uh-oh.
I talked to her yesterday, or the day before, actually, and now this is 20-something years later, 22, 23 years, whatever the hell it is, later, and she said, guess where I am? I said, where? North Carolina. So what are you doing there? I'm at Kenny's house. We're getting married.
Oh, my God.
Getting married. Yeah. Hooked up in the 10th grade, took 21, 22 years off, and now getting married.
Wow.
Yeah. Good times, right?
Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's weird, too. It's always weird talking to those guys who you haven't talked to since the 10th grade, and it's like you really need more to talk about. It's like, how's it going? Okay. All righty, then.
You know.
They do that. All they got is you at 15 now. Still got that moped? No.
Got rid of that.
traded that in. Got four wheels now.
Crashed too many times.
Okay. Still living in your dad's garage? No, moved out. Okay. Still beating off to Cinemax at 2 a.m.?
Oh, yeah.
Haven't dropped that. Not an idiot. I've grown up, not that much. Yeah. So well, there you go, everybody. Go back and marry the person you went out with in the 10th grade. Let's hear a little 311 song, shall we?
Yeah.
We shall. Drew, you ready?
I'm ready.
Drew, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. All right. This one is called Crack the Code.
Shape, it's all in your code now. Come again, feel what I mean. Look into my eyes and no one's trying to complain, but I stumble every time and then the words they escape fail to take shape. It's all. It's out of this. My heart was the target. I found your arrow. But you know I want to be straight and narrow.
I've been trying to transmit a feeling. I've been hoping you receive what I'm revealing. See, the main thing is hang with me and relate. We communicate. Watch out. It's in like a dog between houses. Balled up by the trouble my mouth gets. Wrapped up in the things that I don't know. Don't you know? Hoping that you crack the code. Whoa. Every time and then the words they escape fail to take shape. It's all in the code now. Didn't I know I'm wrong, wrong, wrong when you knew? Didn't have to give it so long, long, long to see through. Not predictable what I will do, but you know, as you crack the code.
Your body is a country, you know I'll return to. A craving like a family.
We can still do it.
Oh, yeah.
14 years, baby. 14 years.
14 years.
Who can do that?
You know what I always say strikes me about 311, too? Guys all seem to like each other in the band, too.
And we come back and do shows with you.
Yeah.
Year out, year in, year out.
Yeah, what the hell, Drew?
We're stupid like that.
No, we were just talking. Drew, you there?
I'm here.
All right. Didn't mean to wake you. We were talking about how those... I was saying... to Drew during one of our frequent bathroom breaks. There's no girl bands out anymore. Like you know, we've you go back to your Go-Go's and your Bangles and all that. But I'm missing the L7s and the Veruca Salts and the Bellies of the world too. You know, like we're the rockin' chick bands.
The Donnas. I mean, that's pretty rockin'. Right, fills the whole board.
Well, there should be a plethora of rockin' chick bands. And then I was saying to Drew, these chick bands, they blow up and then they break up because they're chicks. And one of them, it's like, hey, we're going to put you on the cover of Rolling Stone. Just a cute one. Just a hottie. Yeah, we're going to need you. The rest of you go wait in the van. And chicks can't handle that. Whereas I was saying to Drew, if I was in a band and one of the guys was blowing up and I wasn't, I'd just be laughing and hammering checks. Like, I'd be like, yeah, go. I'm going home. I'm going out. I'm going to look at Corvettes. You go out and do your Rolling Stone photo shoot. Yeah, just when do you think that check's coming, by the way?
In fact,
how many horses does that thing have? 405?
Desperately and diligently working towards that life.
Yes, I would like to, like, just be the
that guy.
I would like to play the fish in a very successful band with a bunch of really good looking guys, and they didn't want me in the photo shoot.
The important guy in the background.
Right. But
think about it. There are bands which have female leads who have no problem, like Garbage, have no problem with the woman going out and doing the photos, you know?
Right.
I think when you have an all-female band and inevitably one of them turns out to be cute and starts getting a little more heat, the other ones turn, and then they self-destruct. Yeah. All right. And where is Garbage, by the way?
I miss them.
I miss Garbage.
Big in Europe.
Yeah.
Huge in Europe.
Are they?
Yep.
I could get something from that Belly and that L7. Where are those gals? And
L7. They used to come in.
We played with L7.
You did.
A long time.
311 and L7.
Yep. Wow. 311 Rage Against the Machine.
Adam, L7. Guys. I think,
what's that?
Say what?
I think the L7 girls liked Adam.
Well, I like them.
I know, believe it or not.
That's hard to believe.
Screw it L7. They could kiss my ass.
I drank absinthe with one of the girls in L7.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have been freaky.
It was. It was impossible to dilute. I put a whole 7-Up with like a pin
cap hole in there.
Shot. Yeah, it was impossible.
Adam drank absinthe with Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
No way. It topped me.
It's absinthe Trump.
You big show off.
Drew's drinking some moonshine back in Knoxville. He trumps us all.
Watch this. All right, we're Drew. Someone wants to know where they can get your book. Courtney?
Hi.
Go to Amazon and get the book.
That was easy.
I tried. Amazon screws up my orders, but that's like not my main calling reason, though.
You have big boobs?
Oh, yeah, that too, but I said that mainly to get on air. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're being honest. Now I'm going to
Girls
be
got it, Adam.
All right. Let's see. Hooked up with younger brother's friend. Yeah, Brittany. Brittany.
Hi.
What's happening?
Nothing. How are you guys?
We're good.
Oh, good.
Thanks for asking.
Good.
What?
Thanks for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so what happened is my brother's friend, who's my age, came over and spent the night, and we hooked up, and then my brother found out. So now he says he isn't mad at me, but I think he really is because, you know, he's my brother and I can tell.
How old is he?
He's my brother's 14. And I'm 15.
You're how old?
15. Yeah, so...
And why would he be mad? It's just weird for him.
Yeah, well, I think because a couple of years ago, he wanted to hook up with one of my friends, but I wouldn't let him. So now he thinks
See, that's why he's mad.
Yeah.
Control issues.
Listen, I know this might sound sick and deviant, but I'm going to need some from my sister if that's the case. I mean, there's. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's the way I am.
Only fair.
And if that sounds strange, you well, then so be it. But it's only fair. I'm owed some, and you got to give me some. I'm sorry. I know it may be awkward.
Rules are rules.
Don't call me a madam, but you'll have to find some kind of facsimile.
So you hooked up with the 14-year-old kid?
No, he's 15. No. He's my age.
15.
Yeah,
oh, your age. And what you guys, when you say hook up, what'd you do?
Oh, I don't know. I gave him a hand job or like whatever. I don't really know what the right word for it is, but.
I'd say that covers it.
That's just barely hooking up.
That was like my first like sexual experience though. So.
Uh-huh. Well, do you like him?
Yeah. And my real question is like, how can I, like, I want to date the guy, but I don't want to compromise the relationship with my brother. So is there any way I could, like, kind of, like, I don't know, like bring it to my brother or...
Here's the thing. Does the guy like you that way?
Yeah. Like
he does.
Yeah, because we talked about it after and everything, so...
He wants to go out with you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's going to end up taking precedent. I mean, that's going to trump whatever you got going with your brother.
And
your brother can just get used to it if this guy's sincere. But if this guy's just, you know, giving you lip service so you guys can hook up another time or two, it's going to cause trouble.
Uh-huh.
So if he's sincere about it and you're sincere about it, then give it a whirl.
Okay.
And it's really, your brother will just get used to it.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay, that's what I thought was going to happen, but I wasn't sure, like, if my brother would, like, freak out if I told him I wanted to go.
He'll be okay.
I'll tell you
what. Get him a girlfriend.
Yeah, the pill would be a much less bitter pill to swallow if you could go get that chick back for him and get him hooked up.
All right. That sounds good.
That would be a fair trade. Is a girl interested in him?
I don't know. I don't hang out with her anymore, but I can get him a different girl.
Go dig her up. Or go find another one.
Okay, thanks.
Adam saves the day.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd be... Yeah, it'd be like this. It'd be like, look, I want to go out with your friend. Wait a minute. No way. Oh, yeah? Meet Cassandra. Oh. What were we talking about? And that sax music, comes
that?
In. Yeah. Hey, Swedish foreign exchange student. Yeah. Oh. You've never seen a hot tub before. Well, come on. And then it's done.
Boom.
All is forgiven. Yes, Drew?
The teens.
Yeah, it'll work great.
As a man... of extraordinary passion. If your sister had offered up one of her friends, you would have gladly whored her out to one of your buddies, right?
Yeah, that's how I put it.
Okay. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in... good old Tennessee.
Yeah.
Essay's here tonight. So is Peanut from 311. You want to find out anything about 311, just go to www.311.com. All right. Let's see. New girlfriend.
Who's been waiting the longest?
Well, let's see. Oop. Stephanie, been on hold for 90 minutes.
Wow. That would be a nice, that'd be a nice thing to do.
You're right.
See?
Stephanie?
Been here before.
You're 20, and you think you were molested.
Yeah, and so I was wondering, I just had a question, like, about dissociation. Like, I know, like, people, like, sometimes they'll imagine that, like, they're floating up on the ceiling, like, watching it happen.
Right, right.
But I was wondering if, like, people could, like, imagine that they were the abuser, like, they were doing it to themselves, like, so they were more, like, in control.
There is that quality to abuse, very definitely. In fact, I really think that's one of the... I've been thinking a lot about this lately. It's interesting you would bring this up. And I think that's one of the reasons...
I've been thinking about squirrel crap.
Indeed you have. And I think that's one of the reasons that people sort of compulsively reenact those sorts of experiences. They sort of... They commune with the abuser. They become one with the abuser and have to sort of take it on as a way of controlling the situation. And so, yeah, I would imagine there's also a fantasy of actually being the abuser. That's one of the reasons they become abusers, perhaps.
Right. That's what I was just wondering. So I just wanted to know if that was, like, if that could happen or not. I just wanted to know if I was crazy or not, so.
Very definitely.
Well, are you in a relationship now?
No.
And you think you were molested or you were molested?
I don't know for sure. Like, I don't really remember, like, the majority of my childhood, but, like certain things that I did, like when I was younger, like I used to like put things inside of myself, and like when I was really little, and I used to started cutting like when I was 3.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So there's stuff that kind of leads to that, I think.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
All right. So Stephanie, what are you doing now? Are you able to be in a relationship?
I've never actually been in one before.
No. All right.
Are you in treatment?
No.
Ooh.
Not really.
Some treatment? How about that?
Well, that's what I was... Yeah, I was planning on doing something like that. I'm trying to move out to California right now, and then once I get settled out there, then that's what I'd like to do, so...
That'd be great.
Don't move here until you're cured.
Okay.
This is a problem with California. You got a lot of people that need a little work done in their home state coming on out here, and then I got to deal with them on the freeway.
We're growing faster than Vegas.
Oh, I know. That's here's what I'm saying. Everybody, here's what I want for California. You know how if you're going to get a sex change operation, you have to have a year of therapy before they actually deem you sane enough to have your honker lopped off?
You gotta go to Minnesota or whatever.
Yeah. Here's what I want for California. Anyone who wants to move here, 3 years of intensive therapy. And then, if at the end of that 3 years, you decide, because you're moving here because you think you're going to be a star, it's never going to work, you're probably delusional. And like I said, I got to, right, it's going to be me behind you on the freeway and then me eating at your diner while you give me the stink eye. Oh, Mr. Radio guy thinks he's hot stuff. I can sing like a bird, but yet I'm fetching your hash when I'm twice the man you are. I don't need that. Stay where you are. And at the end of 3 years, when we get the certificate stamped from your therapist, then we'll see about letting you in. How about that, Drew? Wouldn't that be good?
Perfect.
Perfect. Peter Brady?
Yeah. Okay.
Drew dropped a nad during that diatribe. All right. Let's talk to Don. Don is 26. Don?
Hi.
You have a shoe fetish.
Yeah, I called like 3 years ago from Seattle when I was living there. I was kind of drunk. I said that I was the boyfriend of that girl who'd called earlier. Mm-hmm. And she said that her boyfriend had been sleeping with her shoes, and I said that I was the guy.
Yes. All right.
And I still have it, and I was wondering if it's possible to get rid of it.
Your shoe fetish?
Yeah.
Well, I know there's a guy who specializes in this, Dr. Scholes, who's up in the port. Yeah, it was a little shoe joke there, buddy. Drew, Dr. Schultz.
Oh, that's so funny.
Come on, buddy.
Seriously, though, it causes problems with relationships, you know, with women.
Yeah.
And why, what happens?
Seriously, is there a cure?
Well, what happens in the relationships with the shoe fetish?
Well, I can't explain it, really. It's like I'm more attracted to the girl's shoes than I am to the girl.
You know, that's okay. Going to bother your people you're involved with. They don't like that too much.
That kind of screws with their head, yeah.
I know, but at least it's about something they're into, too. Like, I'm into tools, and that sucks because there's nothing for anybody but me, you know? At least my old lady can get, you know, if I was into her shoes, we could talk about it. But we could go out shoe shopping.
It's kind of twisted because I met most of them online, the girls, and, like, that's what drew them in. Like, I told them I had the fetish before I ever met them, and then that's what made them attracted to me.
All right, so, hey, Don.
Yeah.
We're running short on time here. Have you got any therapy?
I haven't had any therapy, no.
All right, get some therapy. And another thing is feel free to contain yourself. Like, there's all us other guys, we like boobs or ass or whatever. We don't grab onto it on the first date, though. You know what I mean? I mean, listen, guys, if you got something, you know, that freaks chicks out, feel free to contain yourself. In the meantime, work on it. All right.
Yep.
Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank SA and Peanut for coming in here from 311.
Thanks for having us.
God bless 311.
Our pleasure.
Come back, perennial guests here. Always bring the A game, and you guys come back anytime you like. Go to www.311.com and find out anything about upcoming tour dates and all that stuff.
We're going out with the Roots. Everybody watch out. Beware. Summer.
Oh, really?
We're just going to stomp people.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be great.
Medeski, Martin and Wood, the Roots.
That's going to be this summer.
Yeah.
Musical great. Feast. Watch out.
So, Paul Tracy, race car driver in here, and Dr. Drew making a rare in-studio appearance. So, tomorrow night. Until next time. This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
My boyfriend's going to take me.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.